WEI Afternoons, Wrongheadedness Radio, according to Tom Curran.
Where does he get off?
And Tom Curran will join Wrongheaded Radio right now. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tom Curran, you didn't care for my concerns about the offensive line, I take it?
Well, I need them to be delivered firsthand.
Okay.
Because they were delivered in a way that made it sound like you think they're worse than last year. And that can't be a fact.
He does.
I think they could be worse than last year because Morgan Moses has concerned me for the start of camp here. His inability to block the little speedy guys off the edge, Chasen and Landry. You don't have David Andrews as a mainstay in the middle, and you've kind of had some moving pieces there, Bradberry or this Jared Wilson phenom thing. You basically, compared to last year, all you have is Mike Onwenu. Everybody else is new. You got this fancy, shiny left tackle that we want to love, but people have concerns about, A, his arm length and all that, but also his ability to block. And now it looks like you're going to start two rookies right out the gates on the left side there. And I'm already seeing reps from guys like DeMontre Jacobs and other questionable talents who at least waited until later in the season before they were relevant last year.
So you're alleging that the guys who were playing last year from that offensive line that could be better than this one are not great options. This is an offensive line that had Vedarian Lowe at left tackle, nice guy, not a really top-tier football player, that a revolving door at left guard. David Andrews played four games. Onwenu was just off all season. And Layden Robinson and a cavalcade of average or below average at right tackle. Where do you get off?
Well, because I think it's very similar.
With overall pick.
I mean, what are you excited about?
A better offensive line?
Yeah. Like, other than Doug Marrone, I think the one known commodity that gives me confidence this line will be better.
I mean, I'm excited about one of the best tackles in college football being here. I mean, personally, excited I'm optimistic. Personally, I don't get excited, but I would say that if you're a Patriots fan, you should be encouraged by the fact that a guy who was taken fourth overall that the entire planet agrees was, worthy of being a first rounder is playing left tackle after the subpar nature of the position for years, that this kid Jared Wilson is locking down really good, talented players in training camp like Barmore and Milton Williams, that if it's not Bradberry, who probably is generally more durable than David Andrews, unfortunately for David last year, on when it was better, Moses is, certainly worthy of concern, but he's a better player than DeMontre Jacobs or Layden Robinson. So I just don't – there's a lot of stuff to manufacture nervousness about. The offensive line seems a really loose branch to bounce up and down on.
Okay. I mean, we don't need to belittle this. The one thing I would say, I've never manufactured an opinion in my life. I don't do that.
That's not your thing.
If I react, it's because I saw something on the field and started to look at it with sort of a certain lens, and that's how I feel. Yeah. But
worse, Andy?
I think it could be worse. Yeah, I really do. I think you're starting at a spot that is similar to last year and could spiral in a bad direction. But we can move on.
We're gonna put that on our shoulder, and we'll get back to that.
To you again in like October.
There you go. Let's revisit in October. Hey, Tom. You clearly remember because you go to every single practice. In the first day of OTAs, Drake May, I feel like he had like four interceptions in that first practice. And so far in the last eight practices and training camp, he has no turnovers. Why such the dramatic improvement from then to now?
I think part of it, and they were picks. He deserved to have them called picks. I think luck is on his side right now, and bad luck was on his side on that day that he had the four picks. He could have gotten picked by Jabril Peppers, but I also think that I don't have a really good explanation for it because he's not taking check down after check down. He's throwing it to tight windows. He's throwing it to every single player that he could, whether it be Baker or Polk when they're out there, or Efton Chisholm, whether it be rookie Kyle Williams. Could we say maybe, possibly, that the corners are not dealing with this competent but not great group of wide receivers? I think that would be a stretch, too. I guess we eventually have to just say he's playing really good. To me, that's the the Occam's razor answer. He's playing really good. So it is kind of stunning when you think about the high leverage throws that he has made and put in there. And Andy, I do want to say, because I feel bad about saying manufactured. I was still joking, but not with my joking voice, because I'm a little tired in the mid afternoon. So no sorry, worries. I said manufactured. No, definitely worries, and I can tell in the no worries answer that tone that you have when you're really pissed.
I was gonna fire back, but I chose not to. I had a retort that would have elevated our anger here in our argument. So we'll just pass it along.
He'll be okay. He loves your time. He'll be all right.
All right.
Everything's good.
I backed it off there. I did what I could. You know, I put my hand out across the aisle there.
I just feel like the kid in the back of the station wagon when the family's arguing up front, but that's fine. And you remember those good old days, Tommy. And from the back of the station wagon, I do want to bring up something I believe we can all agree is a legitimate concern, and that's cornerback depth. So now when you've got a load management sort of possibly injured Carlton Davis and you got a soft tissue injury early on with the hammy on Gonzo, are you a little worried, Tom, that, maybe we could be seeing meaningful reps from like the Isaiah Boldens and the Marcellus Dials down the line? Because that's not great.
No, we don't definitely know that's not great, but we certainly know it's not as great as having the guys out there that you
– right.
Have already spent money on and are going to spend an immense amount of money on.
Fair
so
enough, yes.
It's going from being like, you know, even conceivably a top five cornerback duo, at least top 10, mm-hmm. to 28th. If you have Marcellus Dial, Marcus Jones, and Alex Austin running around out there. So, yeah, it's definitely a concern, especially with every team being loaded at wide receiver that the Patriots have to deal with. So, that is a place that I would look at, and we're batting this around as the Patriots near their situation where they have to make some cuts, mm-hmm. and we're probably going to discuss wide receivers, but they have a glut of competent but not great wide receivers who may become expendable. So do you look at a guy like Kendrick Bourne and say, you know, this guy might have some relevance someplace else, and we're going to have to release him because he doesn't play special teams. Maybe we can get a depth tackle. Maybe we can get a depth corner.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy like this. So to me, I think that's where Elliot Wolf, Ryan Cowden, and the rest of the personnel department has to start looking. Where are we really shallow? And I'd throw tight end in there too.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, with us here on WEEI Afternoons, and he has a good crystal ball because I was planning on going to the wide receiver position next. And Tom, if the offensive line doesn't blow up in our faces, I've seen some things from the wide receiver position, and some of it might be expectation based, that the expectations are low, but I've seen some things that I kind of like. It's not hard for me to talk myself into Stephon Diggs, Pop Douglas, and Kayshon Booty with a little Kyle Williams mixed in. That sounds like it might be a decent wide receiver core to me.
I think they could be worse than last year.
Oh, you son of a gun.
Way
you
to go,
son
Tommy.
Of a gun.
No, I agree with you. I mean, and it'll be an offense, too, that is reminiscent of what we saw. I really think that Douglas is going to be the straw that stirs the drink. As much as Diggs is going to be a player that you're looking to frequently, and he'll be the guy who would get you on a great week, a six-catch, 130-yard day if the Patriots end up having an NFL-level offense this year, I do think that Douglas will be the player that defense is like, this guy on third down. They're always moving him around. They're always running him across the middle. They're always, you know, putting him in difficult places that stress us. So I really think that Douglas could be a big part of that offense. And it's funny you mentioned Booty. He just won't go away. Mm-hmm. He will not go away. And he catches everything. He blocks well downfield, as does Kyle Williams. So there is great reason for optimism that it should be an offense, and I keep saying this year after year, you got to score 24 friggin' points. And that's not a lot. I mean, Detroit scored 33 last year. Great offense, great coaching on that offense. But 24 points a game is not insane. Mm-hmm. You got to get to that point.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. And we hit the offensive line, the quarterback, the wide receivers. Why not? Let's just go for the last question for me, at least in the running backs. I mean, I look out there, and it just feels like there's obviously going to be a lot of checkdowns with Josh McDaniels. But you just see plays designed to get to the edge. You see a lot of creative screens. You see Travion Henderson, you know, running to the goalpost, hitting his head on the goalpost. How involved do you think this running back group's going to be? How does Ramondre Stevenson look? Just this group overall, what do you think of the profile of the running back position?
it's really interesting because they are reminiscent of the way the Patriots used to try to construct their running back room back in, you know, their last Super Bowl run and ones prior. Sonny Michel was your lead back. Rex Burkhead was your versatile changeup back, could go between the tackles or he could be a third down type. And then you had James White. This would follow the same suit with Ramondre Stevenson being your bell cow, Antonio Gibson being your you know, back and forth versatile back, but also kind of could carry the ball 15, 16 times. And I think Travion Henderson's early role would be kind of third down backish, but he could be like Rex Burkhead as well. So there's great versatility with all three backs. And as we know with running backs, somebody's going to get a ding at some point, so you're going to need all three. I'll be interested, too, to see if I always call him Lan Larrigan, and that's not his name.
Number 34 from UC Davis.
Yep.
That's my guy.
Yeah, it's not Larrigan. It's not Larrigan.
Larrison.
Every friggin' time.
Yep.
Lan Larrison will have pertinence on this team. I would not be surprised if he makes the 53.
Yep.
As a kick returner and special teamer, just so you have some depth. And again, it's so friggin' maddening when you look at recent years. Why couldn't Pete Strong stay here? Why couldn't Kevin Harris stay here? Why were these guys who they drafted, Harrison earlier? No, Pierre Strong was an earlier pick. But they just were unusable. It's like City So. I think he's still on the team. I never see him. He was a starter 2 years ago. It's wild.
Yeah, Tom, last question for me real quick. I was making a point earlier, and yes, I think Lan Larrison, I think he was the leader in receptions for running backs last year in college football as well. So hopefully he makes a good impact. And just overall, I think the impact I'm most impressed by still is Coach Vrabel. And I was remarking earlier to the guys about how everything seems so much more positive down there. Am I crazy thinking that like the positivity down there begins with the energy displayed by the head coach and his competence?
I think it's not just the energy. I think the energy flows from a notion of competence and purpose everywhere. If you go someplace and you're not sure who the offensive line coach is or how the offensive coordinator will do, or you're looking at a first-year defensive coordinator and a first-year head coach, and it's already been announced that it's a foundational year and the owner saying, I hope we don't struggle, but we might struggle. That really does not put a lot of energy and hop in your step. But when you look at an offense right now that has head coaches and former head coaches and interim head coaches all over it and talented players imported and a guy who's in his second go-around after having had a year off to prepare for the second go-around, there's no way that everybody can't feel as if they've done an immense amount in the offseason to prepare for 2025, whereas 2024 was very much flying by the seat of your pants, and 2023 was just hoping against hope that the worst was not going to unfold, and it did. So I think it's probably relative. I think the confidence and enthusiasm is probably relative to what we've seen really since 2022. I mean, that whole offseason, too, we're going to go with no offensive coordinator. We'll figure it out as we go. So 2021 was kind of fun, and it's been 3 years since we've seen anything remotely close to it. So it's like getting outside for your hour of time out in the yard.
Tom, real quick before we let you go, are we expecting maybe a return to sort of the blue-white scrimmage tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium? It's been a few years since we had one of those. Is this going to be a competitive practice tomorrow night?
That's a good question. They had the walkthrough today.
Yeah.
They're going to have Saturday and Sunday off, so that's a great question. And the Senator Phil Perry also wonders the same thing. He's not going to give him 2 days off in a row with it, not doing anything on 2 days off, is he? Ted, what do you think?
Nope. That is not. Ooh. No, Michael's harder than that. He's not as soft like that.
Mm-mm. All right, I'll take whichever team has Drake May as their quarterback. But we'll talk to you about it next week, Tom Karn, and keep an eye on that offensive line so we can continue our argument.
Thanks, Tom.
Oh, we will.
See you, Tom. Buddy. Tom Karn, NBC Sports Boston, with all his thoughts from Patriots training camp. We'll touch on that, including the running back position, where Fitzy got very excited to hear he and Tom Karn think there is a dark horse candidate to be in the backfield this year. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.